Thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading there from Philippians, the third chapter. I encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin our lesson there in just a moment. But I want to begin this morning by asking a question. If I were to ask you what your number one goal was, that one thing that you desired to achieve the most, what would your answer be? What would your answer be? What would be that one thing that you desire to grab hold of more than anything? Hopefully we all would respond with eternal life in heaven. Hopefully we all would respond with that my number one goal is, my top priority is obtaining eternal life in heaven. You see, as we learned in our scripture reading a few moments ago there from Philippians chapter 3, we can see that that was exactly what Paul's number one goal was, wasn't it? His number one goal, his top priority, was laying hold of that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His number one goal was heaven. And brethren, that too needs to be our number one goal. So with that thought in mind, let's take just a few moments this morning to discuss some things that are necessary if we are going to accomplish our ultimate goal of heaven. And in order to be one who lays hold of that prize, there are some things in how we are going to have to press toward that prize. Some ways on how we're going to have to do that in order to lay hold of that upward call, the prize of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to begin this morning by suggesting to us that we need to press toward that prize by having a desire to go to heaven. You see, if we are going to be a people who are going to lay hold of that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, we must first press toward that prize by having a strong desire to obtain it. It's important to note that the word desire is simply defined as a strong feeling of wanting something. Knowing that if we are going to be a people who are going to lay hold of the prize, we are going to have to press toward that prize by having that strong feeling of wanting to lay hold of it. If we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have to really want to go to heaven, aren't we? You see, again, as we mentioned in our introductory statement, the Apostle Paul, he had a desire to go to heaven. He was focused on that desire of laying hold of that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He possessed a very strong desire for heaven. We can see that in the text going back there to Philippians chapter 3. In the fact that Paul tells us in verse 12 and through 14, the fact that he presses toward the goal. Why did he press toward that goal? Well, he tells us in verse 12, because he had not yet attained it. He had not yet laid hold of that prize. That's why Paul continued to press toward the mark or the goal, the prize, because he had not yet attained it. He also tells us of the fact, dropping down there to verse number 20, the fact that he recognized that his citizenship wasn't on this earth. He realized that he was just a pilgrim, a passing through. He understood that his citizenship was where? In heaven. And he longed for that home in heaven. And it is because that Paul possessed a very strong desire to go to heaven that he was focused upon the prize. And he continued to press toward the prize. You see, brethren, we too need to be like the Apostle Paul. We need to have a very strong desire to go to heaven. And we need to continue pressing toward the prize. And we need to be like the patriarchs of old, who likewise longed for and fervently desired a heavenly home. When I think about those who desire heaven, I cannot help but to think about what is recorded about those faithful patriarchs of old as we find there in Hebrews chapter 11. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Hebrews 11th chapter. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have recorded for us a list of faithful patriarchs. And we see here in verse number 13 beginning, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, notice verse 16. He says, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Think about that. Think about the things that were mentioned before about those patriarchs of old who did this or did that by faith. And now we see here in verse 13 that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. And dropping down there to verse 16, we see that they did that because why? Because their desire was a heavenly home. That's why. These patriarchs of old longed for and fervently desired a home in heaven. And just as they and the Apostle Paul fervently desired a home in heaven, brethren, I remind us of the fact that if we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have a strong desire to get there. But not only do we need to press toward the prize by having a strong desire for the prize, but we're also going to have to press toward the prize by being committed to obtaining the prize. You see, we need to press toward the prize by being totally committed to going to heaven. It's important to note that commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. In the case that we're talking about this morning, we need to be mindful of the fact that if we are going to be a people who are going to someday obtain a home in heaven, we're going to have to be totally committed to going to heaven. We're going to not only have to have that desire, but we're going to have to be committed to laying hold of that prize. You see, it's important that we, like the Apostle Paul, have that single-mindedness who was committed to going to heaven. Go back there to the text in Philippians chapter 3 with me. And there in Philippians chapter 3, again, we see the single-mindedness of the Apostle Paul expressed in the fact that Paul said this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see that? To be simply put, what the Apostle Paul is expressing to us, it is the fact that he was focused upon one thing above all other things. What was that one thing that the Apostle Paul said that he was focused upon? That prize. Heaven. And because of that, he says, I forget those that are behind, and I press toward that which is ahead. Why, Paul? That I may lay hold of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's why. Paul had that single-mindedness, that total commitment, that focus upon the prize. And brethren, if we are going to be a people who are going to obtain the prize, we need to be focused upon the prize. We need to have that single-mindedness that the Apostle Paul had. We need to be a people who make that one thing we do that of pressing toward the prize. And we need to press toward that prize in such a way that we may be able to obtain it. And we must not let anything, and I repeat, we must not let anything keep us from obtaining the prize. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about Paul's words recorded there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 24, Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." Why? Paul will notice. "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." You see that? The Apostle Paul is simply informing us here of the need to be focused and committed to obtaining the prize here. And he's telling us here of the need to compete for the prize. That imperishable crown that we are running that race for. To do so in such a way that we may obtain it. And he goes on to tell us how that needs to be. We need to bring our bodies into subjection, lest we become disqualified. Did you know that? Did you know that race that we are running for eternal life, that if we lose focus on that prize, or if we fail to run that race according to the rules, that is the will of the Lord, that we can become disqualified from that race? Did you know that? That's serious, isn't it? And it's because of that we must have that single-mindedness. We must stay focused, be completely committed to obtain the prize. And we need to run that race in such a way that we may obtain the prize. And we must not let anything, and I repeat, we must not let anything get in our way or keep us from obtaining the prize. But I also suggest to us this morning the need for us to press toward the prize by being obedient to the will of the Lord. Obedience is defined as a compliance with an order or submission to another's authority. As we mentioned earlier, the race that we are running that leads to eternal life, there's rules that must be followed. Those rules that must be followed is the commandments of the Lord. We must, as we talked about this morning in our adult Bible class, we must not be unwise, but we must be wise knowing the commandments of the Lord. We must know the will of the Lord. Paul says, don't be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. That's why it's important that we know the will of the Lord, as we talked about this morning. Because if we're going to obtain that prize, we're going to have to be obedient to the will of the Lord. And did you know? Did you know, brethren, that we pledged our obedience to the Lord when we became servants of the Lord? Did you know that? To help us better see that, I take us there to Romans chapter 6. And here in Romans chapter 6, we can see here the fact that when we obeyed the gospel, when we became servants of the Lord, we pledged our obedience to the Lord. Notice this with me, picking up here in verse 16 of Romans 6. Paul begins here by asking a question. He asks, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." Now notice verse 17, because he says, "But God be thanked." Why, Paul? "That though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to mortal lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. Did you catch that? You see, Paul, he was thankful for these brethren in Rome who were once slaves of sin, but now have become slaves of obedience leading to righteousness. They were once dead to sin, but are now alive to God. And how did they do that? They pledged their obedience to the Lord when they became servants to the Lord by obeying, as we see there in verse number 17. By obeying from the heart that form of doctrine from which you were delivered. Brethren, I bring this point out to remind us of the fact that as Christians, when we obeyed the gospel and became a child of God, we made a pledge to the Lord to be obedient to the Lord. We need to be mindful of that pledge that we made when we became servants of God. And we need to be focused and ever mindful of the will of the Lord, and we need to do it as we press toward the prize. Because here's the thing. Only those who are obedient to the will of the Lord, only those who obey the Lord, will someday obtain the prize. We learn about this there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And there it's recorded, "And he, that being Christ Jesus, is the author of eternal salvation to who? All who obey him." You see that? Key word. All who obey. Christ Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all, to everyone who obeys him. And remember the song we just sung a while ago? "I'll be a friend of Jesus." While you were singing that song, did you mean it? Did you mean it? If you were singing that song, I hope you meant every word of it. Because a friend of Jesus will be one who does what? Keeps his commandments. Jesus said that himself, didn't he? John 15, 14. "You are my friends," Jesus said, "if you keep my commandments." A true friend of Jesus will keep his commandments. And if we are going to be a people who lay hold of that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to be a people who press toward the prize by being obedient to the Lord. But we also need to be mindful of the need to press toward the prize by being willing to make some sacrifices. Did you know that? Did you know that if we're going to lay hold of that prize, we're going to have to make some sacrifices along the way? You see, to sacrifice is to give up something for the sake of a better cause. And brethren, if we're going to lay hold of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, there's going to be times when we are going to have to make some sacrifices. There are going to be times that we are going to have to give up some things for the sake of the cause of Christ. You see, Jesus tells us, even there in Luke, the 9th chapter, of the fact that if we're going to follow him, it's going to require some sacrifices. Notice this with me there in Luke, the 9th chapter. And here in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 23, notice these words of Jesus. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels."
Catch that.
You see, if we're going to be a people who's going to press toward the prize and follow Jesus, what did Jesus say the first thing you're going to have to do? You're going to have to deny self. He says in verse number 23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." That means we're going to have to make some sacrifices. We're going to have to give up some things for the sake of the cause of Christ. Beginning with our own selfish ambitions. You see, when we make that commitment to the Lord, it's no longer about us, brethren. It's about the Lord. And we need to be mindful of that. That as children of God, as Christians, we pledged our obedience to the Lord. And our number one priority is no longer self or anyone else or anything else, but the Lord. And Jesus even brings out here, he even asks the rhetorical question in verse 25. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" I want us to stop and think about that question for a moment, because that's a very good question. You see, there are some who want to enter that race, but their heart's not fully in that race. They still want to put self first and the things of this world first before the Lord. But let it be known, brethren, you can't do both. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And we need to recognize the fact that if we're going to lay hold of that prize of love we're called of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to make some sacrifices along the way. We're going to have to put the Lord first above all else. We're going to have to deny ourselves and our selfish ambitions and the things of this world. Because here's the thing. What would it profit any of us if we gained the whole world, if we gained every possession in this world, what would it profit us if we gained that, but yet come the day of judgment, Jesus speaks to us the words, "Depart from me"? What's that going to profit us? We know the answer to that question, don't we? Not a thing. Not a thing will it profit us. If we gain the whole world and yet lost our soul. And that's why we need to be mindful of the fact that there's going to have to be some things that we're going to have to give up along the way for the sake and for the cause of Christ if we're going to lay hold of the prize. Again, we must be willing to always put the Lord our God first before all things. Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek what? First. Not second, not third, not fourth, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Simply put, Jesus says, put God first. And He goes on to tell us that if we put God first in our life, guess what? He's going to take care of us, isn't He? He's going to provide to us those necessities, things of necessity that we need. Again, putting the Lord first is emphasized here in Luke the 14th chapter. When Jesus said there in Luke chapter 14 verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus is simply saying, I need to be number one. I need to be number one. Jesus is saying here, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now it's important to know what Jesus is saying here in regard to that word hate there is, it means to love less. And what Jesus is saying here is the fact that we should love him more than our father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters. Even more than our own life. We need to put him first. He needs to be the number one priority. And if we can't do that, if we can't put the Lord before him, before anybody else, Jesus says, you can't be my disciple. That's serious, isn't it? But it emphasizes the need to always put the Lord first before all things. It expresses the fact that we're going to have to make some sacrifices if we're going to lay hold of that prize. Remember that. But I also inform us this morning of the fact that if we're going to lay hold of the prize, we're going to have to press toward the prize by being involved in the work of the Lord. You see, to be involved simply means to participate in something. And as Christians, as children of God, we are to be involved in the work of the Lord. And we are to abound in it. When I think about the necessity of being involved in the work of the Lord, if we're going to lay hold of that prize, I can't help but to think about that parable of the talents that Jesus gives for us there in Matthew chapter 25. Turn over there to Matthew 25. For the sake of time this morning, we're not going to take time to read all of that. But as good Bible students, we're familiar with the parable of the talents here in Matthew 25. And how Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called to his servants and delivered his goods to them. And he talks about giving these talents. One man, he received five. To another, two. And another, he only received one, didn't he? And what did that man who received one talent, what did he do with that talent? Do you remember? He buried it, didn't he? He buried it, as we see there in verse number 18. And then, what is said about him? What is said about him picking up there in verse number 26? But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Think about that. That's some strong language, isn't it? And he goes on to say, there, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. And dropping down to verse 30, what was the outcome for this unprofitable servant? It says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let that grab your attention for a moment, brother. You see, if we are going to be a people who are going to lay hold of the prize, we're going to have to press toward that prize by being involved in the work of the Lord. It's going to involve our participating in the work of the Lord, lest we too be called a lazy and unprofitable servant and be cast into outer darkness. You see that? That's, again, serious, isn't it? Very serious. Therefore, let us be mindful of the need to not only be involved in the work of the Lord, but to also abound in it. As Paul tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, when he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And may we all always therefore be zealous and maintain good works. Did you know, brethren, that Christ Jesus gave himself for us? Did you know that he gave himself for us so that he may have us, his own special people, zealous for good works? You see, we learn about that there in Titus, the second chapter. Notice this with me there. And there in Titus chapter 2, we learn there, he that being Christ, who gave himself for us, why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Simply put, Christ redeemed us not to be a people to sit on the sideline, but rather to be a people who are involved in his cause. And we need to be a people who are involved in the work of the Lord. We need to be zealous for good works. And we need to be careful to maintain good works. As Paul goes on to inform Titus, as we see there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, when he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm to you constantly. What are those things, Paul? That those who have believed in God should what? Be careful to maintain good works. Why? These things are good and profitable to men. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple there. Paul lays it out for us for why not only do we need to be zealous for good works, but why we need to be careful to maintain good works. Because these things are good and profitable to men. And if we're going to lay hold of the prize, brethren, we're going to have to press toward the prize by being involved in the work of the Lord. But I also suggest to us this morning that if we're going to lay hold of the prize, we're going to have to press toward the prize by being one who endures hardship. You see, endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. And as we all recognize, there are going to be some hardships that come along the way as we're pressing toward the prize. There are going to be some things that are some trials and some afflictions, some adversity that's going to pop up along the path as we press toward that mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be prepared for those adversities, those hardships, and we need to be mindful of the need to endure those hardships. Simply put, brethren, what I am suggesting to us this morning is the need for us to endure the race that is set before us with endurance. We're going to have to run that race as we're pressing toward the prize with endurance. We learn about this in Hebrews chapter 12. Notice this with me there in Hebrews the 12th chapter, beginning there in verse number 1. Paul said, or the Hebrews writer rather said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now watch it. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Notice verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Hold on to those words of the inspired writer. Run that race which is set before you, brethren, with endurance. And be mindful of something while you're running that race, while you're pressing toward the prize. Be mindful of the fact that this race that we are running to lay hold of eternal life, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Remember that. Don't be one who starts out of the gate hot and giving it all you got, and then you become weary and discouraged and you bail out. Don't be one who lets sin, which so easily ensnares us, weigh you down and disqualify you from finishing the race. But rather be one who runs the race with endurance. Simply put, press on and keep on pressing on. No matter what comes your way. And remember, when those trying times come upon you, remember when affliction and adversity is upon you, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I want us to think about that for a moment. I want us to think about what Jesus himself endured for you and I. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured hostility from sinners against him. And if he can do that, guess what, brethren? We can endure the trials and the afflictions and the adversity that comes upon us, can't we? Because we have him for an example to look unto. Think about what he went through while he was being tried and beaten and sped upon and reviled against and crucified. Think about that. It's hard to even begin to imagine. We can't even begin to fathom what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ endured for us. But yet the Hebrews writer tells us here that we have an example. We have one to look unto when we come upon hardship, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. Remember that next time you're dealing with afflictions or adversity. Remember that the next time the going gets tough. Remember to look unto Jesus. And remember what he endured for you and I. And use that as motivation to keep on pressing toward the prize, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. And always remember, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Jesus tells us this as he speaks to his disciples there in Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Jesus said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Hold on to those words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brethren. Keep on keeping on. Press toward that prize by being one who endures hardship. And remember, Jesus said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Once more, brethren, I encourage each and every one of us to keep our eye on the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I encourage each and every one of us to fight the good fight of faith, to keep the faith, and to finish the race. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submit themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will. Maybe you haven't yet entered that race which leads to eternal life. You have an opportunity to enter the race this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins, and you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can enter that race which leads to eternal life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death to the Lord. We must continue to keep on keeping on. We must be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we need to remember that Jesus has promised that prize to those who do so, as we learn there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, when Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and his will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've bailed out of that race that leads to eternal life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, to confess them to God, and ask him for his forgiveness, and to get back in the race that leads to eternal life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, why don't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.